We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Going up, I want to get some of these texts in. ESPN, they should probably go get Tannehill in free agency because he's going to be cheap, then draft in the second round and bring him along by SL. I like your thought process along with that. Another texter gets in with us. Use the coming year as a rebuilding year just as the Miami Dolphins are. Well, I don't know if I would go to that extent because the Dolphins ran through about 12 head coaches in the last 2 years. But I understand what you're saying. Another texter gets in with us. ESPN, this is more of a service, public service announcement. There is a wreck around exit 54 on 85, so everybody be careful over in the left lane. So if you need, if you're listening to the show and you need to, you're coming down 85, be careful. There's a wreck at exit 54. Let's go back to this. So the Carolina Panthers want to bring a Super Bowl here, and you've got to have, we all know that you need a good quarterback to do it, but with the issues that they've got already on their roster and with the strength that this draft has, I would not draft any of these quarterbacks in the first round if I'm the Carolina Panthers. I think you either have to go, you've got the 16th pick, which that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. The 16th pick in the NFL draft, which I am flat excited, I'm actually going to be there this year in Nashville live at the NFL draft. A group of guys have gotten together, and we're going to put in hotels already booked, and I'm just flat excited about being in Nashville. I've never been to an NFL draft. I've always wanted to go, but I will be there in person this year for the first and probably first through three rounds of the NFL draft. So which direction do you need to go? Well, unless you've got Tom Brady, which only one team in the NFL does, you've got to figure out another way to do it. Well, let's look at how did the Kansas City Chiefs, because to me, the Panthers remind me a lot of the Chiefs when they had Alex Smith. He was an MVP candidate, led the league in passing, threw for 1,000 touchdowns, set the world on fire, and then what did Kansas City do? They drafted a rookie who they really believed in. They did their homework. They did their research. They got a guy who they thought fit their offense long-term that could get them over the hump. Because, look, the knock on Andy Reid is he can't win in the playoffs. And he's one win away from going to the Super Bowl. Their defense is the worst in the NFL. It's ranked 26th in the NFL, in the league, in total defense, although they played better in the playoffs against Indianapolis last week. But how did they do it? Number one, they got a dynamic playmaker. Andy Reid totally changed his offense. And that goes back to my premise that I made in the opening segment about football is in a seismic shift right now in a way that we haven't seen in over 40 years. Whether you like it or whether you don't, the RPO / quick spread game is here and here to stay. The rules of football from the NFL to college to high school all favor this type of offense. Alabama is finding that out the hard way. The SEC is finding that out the hard way. Look at all we heard, and this goes back to the other point I made of why the SEC is in trouble. Look at the SEC and what they did with teams that run the modern day offense of the RPO / up-tempo spread. Alabama had a 28. They spotted Oklahoma 28 points and was lucky to win that game. Oklahoma came roaring back and scored 33 and a half. Baylor blew out Vanderbilt. Clemson ran Alabama out of the stadium. And the NFL is in the same mode. The old way of thinking in the NFL is fading itself out.
The problem is Nick Saban is even trying to do that, but when you have no coaching consistency, when you're changing coordinators every single year, you can't build any kind of consistency like that.
Correct. And you can't let a high-priced, overhyped quarterback hamstring your organization. Because everybody wants to go back to the MVP year of Cam Newton. To my knowledge, he's not ever going to achieve that because it took the team around him. What makes Tom Brady great? What makes Aaron Rodgers great? What makes Drew Brees great? They do not need a surrounding cast. They've all won Super Bowls with less rosters than what Cam Newton had to deal with the year he won the MVP. So this business that he can win you a Super Bowl, where's that based on facts?
I think what you're trying to say is Aaron Rodgers, an elite quarterback, they don't need great players around him to be great. Cam Newton needs great players around him to be great.
That's why you got to get rid of him, because here's the thing about a great quarterback. He elevates the play of everybody around him to get them to perform above their ability. That is the fundamental issue I have with Cam Newton. Does he do that for the Carolina Panthers? And the answer is no.
That's exactly what Tom Brady's done his entire career. Yeah, we know that these guys are great now. We know that Gronk is great now. We know that Julian Edelman is great now. But when he first got those guys, they were bums. They were nobodies. He had nobody in his wide receiving core. He didn't have much of a running back, but he made them great.
You want to join the discussion? Call in line 844-477-3776. Hit us up on the Health Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. Catch us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. If you want to jump in the discussion. And that is the fundamental issue that I have with the quarterback situation of the Carolina Panthers. If I'm Ron Rivera and I'm the front office of the Carolina Panthers, it's a no-brainer. You go out and get Nick Foles. You could get at least 2 to 7 draft picks for Cam Newton. Because the one thing about NFL history is that there is a sucker somewhere in the organization in one of the 32 teams. Minnesota was the sucker in 89 when Jerry Jones pulled the Herschel Walker trade. So there's always a sucker GM out there that will give away the farm for a lot of draft picks to get a marquee guy. First call I would make would possibly be to Cleveland or Minnesota. You want to talk about attractive? The Vikings think that they're a quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl. So you could put together a package, get on the phone and say, hey, let's wheel and deal for Cam Newton. You want to talk about making waves through the NFL. Now you can rebuild your roster through the draft and free agency. You can avoid the salary cap deal. Because the thing is, I don't think Nick Foles gets enough credit for what he did with the Eagles. I think it's still too early to decide what the Eagles are going to do with Carson Wentz because he's had to overcome injury. And the one thing that I've learned, especially with injuries is sometimes you just got to be patient. I can remember when people were trying to get rid, they were calling Jadeveon Clowney a bust. A bust. And come to find out, that injury that he had at South Carolina with his ankle carried over the NFL. It took him 2 years to get over that. And then once he got healthy, he is a terror. Texter gets in with us. ESPN Texas MVP year was an anomaly, and he still had a bad completion percentage. Clay, I could not agree with you more. The Panthers had a dynamic roster. They had a dynamic rookie in Kelvin Benjamin that complimented Greg Olsen. Cam played out of his mind. You're exactly correct about his completion percentage. I don't think it got above 55% that year. I have to look it up. Outstanding text, Clay. Could not agree with you more. So now you got a guy out there in Nick Foles that has led his team to a Super Bowl, that has beat the great Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. But I go back to the model that the Kansas City Chiefs have used. They don't have the greatest defense. They've got a dynamic playmaker in Tyreek Hill. They've got a dynamic playmaker in Mahomes. They've got an outstanding offensive line. And to me, if you're the Carolina Panthers, that's where you have to start. You have got to make a commitment to the offensive line, because if you look at all four of these teams that are in the AFC and NFC championship, all four of them have outstanding offensive lines. Nobody would say that Jared Goff is elite. Not yet. He's on his way. But that offensive line that was retooled, they brought in a veteran in Whitworth at left tackle. He has been his weight in gold for the LA Rams. That's what Carolina's got to do first. Well, it takes five of those guys. The only thing that has kept the Dallas Cowboys within sniffing distance of the playoffs is they rebuilt that offensive line. Travis Frederick, Zach Martin. And in the NFL, you better have an offensive line if you want to advance to the Super Bowl if you don't have number 12 up in New England. Ask any staunch Green Bay fan. They were so excited about this year because they honestly believed with Bulaga and Bakhtiari coming back that the offensive line was going to be a strength and it was going to allow Aaron Rodgers to make plays. It was a catastrophe. They've never been able to get over their injuries. Then they get rid of Jordy Nelson. McCarthy never did address the issue on the defensive side of the ball. He should have brought in some fresh new ideas in that capacity. He could have possibly relinquished his offensive coordinating roles so that he could step away a little bit and manage the team. But the whole crux of the Green Bay failure is they can't protect Rodgers. And Cam at 6'6", this is why I would not draft Kyler Murray number one overall. Because his game is made on making plays outside the pocket. And Cam Newton at 6'6", 260 pounds, is on the verge of injuring his way out of the NFL because his game is predicated on making plays outside the pocket. If anybody is supposed to survive, and the fact that the guy from a physical standpoint has survived with the vicious hits he has taken is a tribute to his offseason conditioning. And I do not question Cam Newton's work ethic or his workout or any of that. But there's more to playing quarterback than the physical attributes. And those things he just doesn't have. The putting his towel over his head over on the sideline, flopping around on the fish like a fish during a game. I mean, all of that stuff, it's immaturity. And it affects the rest of the team because you are the face of the franchise. I'm not saying don't have fun. But there is a responsibility that goes with the position. This is Straight Up with Sturge with Josh Phillips. Welcome into this dreary, rainy, nasty. Might be wet and nasty outside, but it's hot and cooking in here. Man, I'm sweating like a sieve over here. And I've got on a t-shirt. Oh, yeah. Paying homage to my world champion, Boston Red Sox. Man, I'm so excited about my Red Sox, Diesel. So excited. And, you know, I got to give him credit. You know, I wanted, when the Red Sox got rid of Farrell, which they held on to too long, man, I wanted them to go out and get Girardi. I thought that would be an outstanding fit. Then I had Diddy on the show with me, and he kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit about Alex Cora, who was at the time, I believe, the bench coach of the Houston Astros. And the more I thought about it, the more I started to like it. But I wasn't sure because I love Girardi. And I thought the Yankees made a massive mistake by, number one, firing him or not renewing his contract. And then they backed that up by getting rid of Girardi by hiring Aaron Boone. Whoever's in the front office of the Yankees, I hope they're there for life. Because as long as those clowns are making deals like that, I don't care if they bring back the 27 Yankees. They will never beat my Red Sox. Not with Aaron Boone as the manager. Forget it. Can't wait for pitchers and catchers to report. I've never been more excited about the direction. There's a possibility. You know, I was thinking about this before we get back on topic. You know, there's a possibility my beloved Red Sox, they could win the next three World Series. I mean, that's a possibility. They've kept the core group together of that team. They've re-signed the pitching staff. And I just couldn't be more happy for Alex Cora and what he's done as a first-year manager of the Boston Red Sox. You want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776. Hit us up on the Healthcare text line, text ESPN to 71307, or follow us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Let's give away $1,000, the free Stash Cash giveaway on ESPN Upstate for the 5 o'clock hour is Jungle. Text the keyword jungle to 72881. That's jungle to 72881. Good luck in the $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. When you look across the NFL and you look across football in general, it's become it's literally become basketball on grass. And I used to hate that. As a purist, that's why the purist in me is hoping we get a Breeze-Brady matchup in the Super Bowl. That's the purist in me. But I won't deny the fact that I would also love to see a Mahomes-Goff matchup in the Super Bowl because the NFL needs it. Just like the SEC needs an offensive makeover. The SEC is no longer the best conference in college football. It has been. But you can't make an argument for that anymore. You can't make an argument when Alabama gets beat by 30 points, when Baylor destroys Vanderbilt, when Georgia gets destroyed by Texas. And that score was closer than what it looked because Georgia scored a junk touchdown late in the game. The best player on that field was Sam Ellinger at quarterback for Texas. Georgia could not contain that kid. And all I've heard about the difference is why the Big 12 isn't any good and the SEC so good is because the Big 12 doesn't play defense. Since when has the SEC played defense this year? Alabama's given up 90 points in two ball games. With 12 straight number one recruiting classes. Georgia gave up 40 points to Oklahoma last year. Lost on a blocked field goal. Don't tell me about how the SEC plays defense. LSU should have lost to Central Florida. There's no doubt in my mind, if Mackenzie Milton plays in that ball game for Central Florida, they run LSU out of the stadium.
Especially what you're saying is the SEC is getting beat by quote-unquote inferior teams.
Correct.
Inferior conferences.
Correct. Iowa took Mississippi State to the woodshed. Iowa. Who the heck is Iowa?
Hope Steve Sinicrop is not listening. He's going to shut your key off.
All you hear about is how great the SEC plays defense. No, they don't. I don't care how you feel. Show me the evidence. There is none. Alabama gave up 31 to Arkansas. Arkansas. But just like the NFL, they've got to refigure out what they're going to do. I do think Dan Mullen at Florida potentially is going to be a handful. I'm personally a Dan Mullen fan.
In your mind, is a Dan Mullen-led Florida the thing that tips the balance back to the East in the SEC? Because we all know Nick Saban is not going to be there for that much longer. I mean, look at his face. Look at his demeanor on the sideline of the national championship game. I don't think anybody really debates that Nick Saban's going to be there more than maybe three more years. The question is, can Dan Mullen get it done until then and stick around? Because if he can't,
yes,
it's going to be more of the same. But if he can get it done, if he can get Florida to a 10-win season, and I think we all think he can do that, if he can stay consistent at 9 and 10-win seasons until Nick Saban retires, look out. SEC East, they're coming back in a big way.
Yeah, the fact that Dan Mullen made Philippe Franks an NFL draft pick tells you all you need to know about his coaching ability. Because that kid was on the fast track to nowhere. Quick. I mean, Dan Mullen, I personally have always liked Dan Mullen. I think he's very bright. I think he was the catalyst to Urban Meyer's machine when he won two national championships down there. And I know Urban got the benefit for it as the head coach, but to me it was Dan Mullen and his ability to communicate and develop quarterbacks. And I think given enough time with the resources – now, Florida has some intrinsic disadvantages that they've got to address in order to get to the, quote, top of college football. But I think Dan Mullen, from a recruiting standpoint, from a development standpoint, he'll get them there if they allow him to. The rest of the league, Right now, there's some soul searching going on in Tuscaloosa and what the program wants to be. And look, I'm not saying Alabama's going to go anywhere. I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to say they're going to drop off the face of the earth and all of this stuff. They recruit too well. They'll win games and they'll still be a factor. But I'm telling you right now, if the SEC as a conference does not embrace the modern era of offense, they will be relegated to dead last.
Well, there's always the Pac-12 to take up that moniker.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, and I talked about the landscape that I wanted to discuss.
Never count the Pac-12 out to come in last.
And that's the thing. I wanted to, and I mentioned this in the opening segment, I wanted to look at the landscape of college football, and that's a great segue that you just used. Right now, looking at the landscape of college football, to me, from a conference standpoint, the Pac-12 is dead last. They have made horrendous. When you're the Pac-12 and the two best teams are Washington and Washington State, you have a problem. Pete Carroll destroyed Southern Cal with what he did in the early 2000s. That probationary period, and then the Lane Kiffin experiment, and then the Sarkisian experiment, and then now the Helton experiment has crippled Southern Cal, and they've never recovered. And they better find a way. The Pac-12 has to have Southern Cal as a major player in order to be viable on the national scene. They don't have it. The conference is atrocious. So I think everybody can agree that the Pac-12 is number five out of all the Power Five conferences. The Pac-12's dead last. Who's number four? The Big Ten. The Big Ten, Ohio State has to carry the Big Ten. Auburn just ran Purdue out of the stadium. I think they beat them 65-14, which I think surprised a lot of people. Wisconsin was atrocious. Michigan is still trying to. I can remember at the beginning of the year when people were literally, I got into a massive argument with on this show, or not on this show, but on the huddle back in the spring, because all everybody talked about was how Jim Harbaugh was going to transform Michigan. Michigan was going to be a playoff contender this year. And I totally disagreed with that. And now they're talking about what is Michigan going to do? Because he can't beat Ohio State. It looks like Ohio State made the right move with Ryan Day. Ohio State's not going anywhere at the top of that league. Northwestern. And look, I love Pat Fitzgerald. I love Pat Fitzgerald. What he has done at Northwestern is unbelievable. That guy can flat out coach. And if I'm Southern Cal, I've got to call that guy. Because if he can do what he's doing at Northwestern, imagine what he would bring, the energy, the enthusiasm, the coaching, the player development to a program like Southern Cal. I'll tell you who number one, number two, and number three is after this short break. This is Straight Up with Sturge with Josh Phillips. Welcome into this Thursday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips along with Diesel on the board over there rocking it back and forth, and he's got his Metallica shirt on. I've heard the promo. Who's that guy that thought Metallica was a Frank Sinatra soft band or something?
Who said that?
There was somebody that was an interview that called in, and I was trying to find.
Must have been big fans of Jethro Tull.
Maybe so. I don't know. I'm a huge Metallica fan.
Can you believe in 1988 Jethro Tull won the first ever Best Metal Performance Grammy over Metallica?
I can't believe I'm old enough to actually remember 1988.
I can't believe you were sober enough in 1988 to remember 1988.
You want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776. Hit us up on the Health Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. Holler at us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Or my favorite, say, Alexa, play ESPN Upstate. As we look around the landscape of college football in 2019 and the direction that Division I college football is heading, in my list of the Power Five conferences and where do they stand from a reality standpoint, not a feeling standpoint, from a reality standpoint. In the last segment, we had the Pac-12 at number five, the Big Ten at number four. Number three, I had a very, very tough time with. I almost want to put a tie. But by the narrowest of margins, I'm talking about a mosquito hair margin. I'm going to have the ACC at number three. Although the ACC as a league is really starting to come into its own, top to bottom. Only because of the fall of Florida State and Miami is the league not better. The ACC has to have, from a conference standpoint, the ACC has to have Miami and Florida State in the top 15 each year. And quite honestly, it's inexcusable that they're not. Especially Florida State. And I think this past year was a massive wake-up call, and we'll see. If Willie Taggart doesn't make substantial moves this year, I mean, who would have thought Boston College is a better program, Duke is a better program, Wake Forest is a better program than Florida State? Let that sink in. So because of that, I've got the ACC at number three. Obviously, Clemson is the class of the ACC. They are the class of college football. And quite honestly, everybody that ran their mouth about how Notre Dame did not belong in the playoff and it should have been Georgia, you all need to send an apology to the Pope and Notre Dame. Because as all of you idiots realized, it had nothing to do with Notre Dame, and it had everything to do with Clemson. And as I said then, Georgia had no place in the college football playoff. None. They did not even deserve to be in the discussion because they passed the look test. The look test told me they had two losses. They blew a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter to a backup quarterback at Alabama, and they got blown out at LSU by 20 points. Yeah, let's put them in the playoff. So stupid. So by the narrowest of margins, I'm putting the ACC at number three, although it's so close. And with Clemson well entrenched, the rest of college football are chasing the Tigers.
I'd love to have been able to put that last caller on the air.
What?
But he dropped a couple of curse words just in the phone call, so couldn't take the risk. But he asked that we take you off the air because you're a bleeping idiot.
Okay, based on what?
Everything you just said. Again, I couldn't risk putting him on the air.
Well, based on what? I mean, you can't call somebody that without a logistical response. So obviously, whoever the caller was that called in is either on drugs or lives in fantasy land and needs to be at Lila Doyle. This is Straight Up with Sturge with Josh Phillips. Diesel. Love it, baby. Man, love it. We are rocking and rolling on Straight Up with Sturge today.
Getting phone calls from Paul Feinbaum's backyard.
Hey, the phone lines have been lit up. The text lines have blown up. I mean, we are rocking and rolling today. I wish, you know, I know Feinbaum's been on. And here's the thing. For one day, I wish they would let me on one of those panels with Desmond Howard and Herb Street and all of those clowns. For one day. Now, they would never invite me back because I would destroy them. I would utterly embarrass them in the narrative that they constantly feed to the country that literally makes no sense based on no facts other than a feeling. They wouldn't know what to do. I would make Herb Street get up and leave. He would leave the set. Now, Desmond and the other ones, they'd probably laugh and be like, oh, yeah, okay. Feinbaum probably have a heart attack. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in my buddy Vol Nation. Vol, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How you doing, man? You sound like you're having a great time. You're always hilarious coming on, man. I would almost pay money to watch you go against those guys, man. I think it would be amazing.
Well, I probably wouldn't be invited back, Vol Nation, but I appreciate the support. They would not know how to handle me. I can assure you of that.
Well, one, I wanted to call to make sure we're still friends. You know, we had a lot of bacon and shoulder and sausage the other night.
Yes, of course. Look, I was not surprised. And look, let me say this. Congratulations to the Tennessee Vols and the Tennessee Vol basketball program, number two in the country. They are flat getting after it. And like I said, when you had called in, I've got a lot of respect for Rick Barnes. I love the way he's built that Tennessee program. I anticipated Tennessee beating Arkansas. I was not shocked by that one bit. The Razorbacks, very, very young. Tennessee, an outstanding basketball team.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about the direction we're going, what he has built. We play Alabama this weekend. You know, there's a lot of special things going on the Hill right now with T. Martin back and everything else. Everything's going good.
Yes.
But addressing what you've been talking about earlier, I agree with you. There's a seismic shift taking place in the dynamic of offenses and how things are to be done. And SEC, you know, they were behind once before when, you know, we had those huge linebackers and we had huge offensive linemen, which we somewhat still do, but we had a particular dynamic of how we played football. And then, of course, when the coach for Florida and Ohio State, what was his name? I can't remember, the one who just retired.
Urban Meyer,
right. He brought in a system where all of a sudden he said, hey, let's go ahead and put small guys in space with big guys and see what happens. And that's where we got the definition of speed kills. And there was a shift that took place. And I think there's another shift taking place in the dynamics of the offense and how things are run. But in the context of even all of that, when you talked about Notre Dame, you talked about Georgia and all that, here we have five Power Five conferences, but we only have four slots.
Right.
And that's an issue to me right there. And right now, you know, we're trying to use a psychology or understanding of a playoff structure, you know, and hey, this person is 15-0 and they did this and they beat this. And because this person had two losses, they shouldn't be here. But you only have four slots. And when you look at Notre Dame, I'm not putting them down. I mean, they're a great football team. But what is the criteria for getting in? You know, all we were hearing is you need to be in a conference, you need to be playing a conference championship. They don't meet any of those qualifications. You know what I'm saying? But yet, you know, they pick and choose who they want to play, most of them at neutral sites or whatever, and then they win, and now they're in. You know what I'm saying? If that was the case, then UCF should have been in a couple of years ago.
Right.
You know? And so, it's just to me, it's like, I think it would be better to go ahead and expand to 8 teams at least, you know, and go ahead and put in those 5 power conference champions, put in the highest ranked group of 5. Then you have a couple other slots out there for whoever else you think should be in there, and then kind of go from there. Plus, you have an epidemic, and I want to get your opinion on this, of these guys like Will Carrera sitting out. And why are they sitting out? Because they're like, you know, going to the points of the bowl and playing that means nothing to me. But if you have an 8-game playoff, both of these guys are sitting out on good teams. And I don't think they'd sit out if they thought that they had an opportunity to win a national championship. And to me, it's about the product on the field. The product of the field was Will Greer playing. That's what got them to the bowl game. But when he sat out, it was not the same product.
Outstanding phone call, Vol Nation. Thank you so much. Great points. And even with that, West Virginia still had a chance to win without Will Greer. And that, when I was doing my research for today's show, you know, that's the college football playoff. I've got a love-hate relationship with the college football playoff based on the talking heads that are supposedly experts that get into these narratives about a 2-loss Georgia team deserves to be in, a 27-0 Central Florida team that woodshed at Auburn, that woodshed at LSU the previous year, not this year, doesn't deserve to be in, which I've got a problem with. But I do not agree. I understand why people want to expand the product, want to expand the playoff. But quite honestly, I don't want them to expand it. And the reason I don't want them to expand it is, on the way into the show today, I was listening to Lonzo and Mark on their show, and Mark brought up an outstanding point that I totally agree with, is that if you expand the playoff, much like with the NCAA tournament, and he made the correlation between the NCAA tournament and the college football playoff, is that you water down the product. And I totally agree with that. Because if you look at the interest that is surrounded, and Dabo Swinney alluded to this when somebody asked him about the playoff, and his response was, well, we've been in the playoff. The playoff started for us in September. The regular season in college football means something. It means something.
See, I disagree that it waters down the regular season. Because if you require a team to win their conference to get into the college football playoff, that makes conference play mean everything. Out of conference, yeah, it's still important, still great, bragging rights, money, whatever you want to put on it. But if you still require a team to win their conference, you're still going to have teams out there going undefeated in their leagues.
And we'll discuss that. 844-477-3776. This is Straight Up with Sturge with Josh Phillips.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.